Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
There's one question that I get asked more than almost anything when it comes to food, and it's what can I have for that quick snack? Like if I need to catch a plane or if I need to be in the car or I'm just running out and I'm hungry and I know I need to get some good nutrients. Although I'd love to say, hey, make sure you have some vegetables chopped up or grab a pepper and hummus and avocado. That's just not convenient if you're on the run. One place that Jen and I always go to get our snacks is Paleo Valley. We talk about their beef sticks a lot, but I love, love, love their protein superfood bars. They have a chocolate one that I seriously feel like I'm eating fudge when I have it. And it's that guilty pleasure without any of the guilt, because you look at the ingredient list and it is just clean. And it's all ingredients that you'd recognize with no added sweeteners. But seriously, if you're looking for something new to try, check out the link in the bio. Use code OPTIMAL for 15% off at checkout. Their beef sticks, their protein bars, they're absolutely to die for, and it's stuff that you can trust. So OPTIMAL for 15% off at checkout. Try them out.
Up on the podcast, we have LaShonda Jones, and I'm so excited for you guys to hear from her because finally, we have a physical therapist talking about some really common issues, especially when it pertains to women, because we're going to be talking about diastasis recti, we're going to be talking about pelvic health, and all of how to start to gain awareness and control back into your body. So LaShonda is a licensed physical therapist, certified personal trainer, and pre- and postnatal corrective exercise specialist, as well as certified in as a nutrition coach. She has 15 years of experience in outpatient orthopedics, but then she transitioned more into really helping bridge the gap between rehab and fitness for women after they've had babies. So a lot of postpartum education. We're going to be going into educating and empowering women about their pregnant and post-pregnant bodies. And LaShonda just has so many great tips that are really going to help guide you back into your body and understand this and feel just not alone. I think that's really what we want to continue to push here. So we're so excited to dive in with her and let's get started. So excited, LaShonda, to have you on the podcast. We haven't yet even talked about, you know, a lot of the women health issues that people might endure, especially pregnancy, postpartum, and in therapy. So I am so just, we're honored to have you here. So thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So I think that one thing as physical therapists, both of us ourselves really struggle with when we see and how it's been done a lot of the times in pregnancy and people who have gotten pregnant is like, oh, just go home and 6 weeks later, everything should be okay. And that's, again, like you don't tear a rotator cuff and tell someone to go home and hey, you'll be fine in 6 weeks. So exactly. Where we generally start to like to start with people is like, why are you so passionate about this area?
Absolutely. So being a mother myself has definitely brought me to the education, the empowerment, the advocating, everything in regards to pregnancy and postpartum. So once you experience it yourself, I think it gives you just a whole new outlook on just the lack of follow through, which is basically what you just said, that you get pretty much, you know, after you have a baby. And, you know, once I had my son, just to kind of give a backstory behind everything, once I had my son, he's 7 now, you know, I was much younger. I do air quotes when I say this, my body bounced back. I hate that word. I hate snapback. But my body bounced back a little bit easier, you know, than it did when I had my daughter, you know, 4 years later. But with my son, you know, I was educated in regards to things like diastasis recti. But honestly, even being a physical therapist, I didn't feel like even with schooling, and I have this discussion even with pelvic floor PTs, like I didn't get much education about my pelvic floor and all these other things. And so, you know, once I had my son, I had him vaginally. My body still had to go through a whole lot of healing. So a lot of those things I had to kind of figure out myself. And I always said to myself, even then, God, I'm glad I know the body and I know these things because nobody's telling me this, mm-hmm. which I found to be interesting. I'm like, well, maybe it's because I'm a physical therapist. And, you know, I had a good relationship with my OBGYN. So I'm like, well, maybe she's not telling me because she knows maybe, or she's assuming I know this. But then come to find out, no woman was really being given this education. So I was like, oh, wow, that's terrible. Yeah, right? Exactly. Like, I'm work at this point, like you said, I'm working with people who have total knees and they're seeing me for 3 months. And I'm working with, you know, rotator cuff repairs and I'm seeing them, you know, God, 3 months, 4 months, sometimes 6 months, depending on the degree of the tear. So I'm like, wow, I had a whole human being and I get one visit.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like nobody's nobody's going to say anything else. And, you know, and for me, you know, and I don't mind telling my personal story, so hopefully it's not too personal for anyone. But for me, I had like a third degree tear. I had a episiotomy. So there was just so much healing that my body had to go through. That was a shocker for me. And that impacted my mental health. That impacted my physical health. That impacted me on so many levels. And at the time I was a trainer, you know, physical therapist, I'm a wife, I'm a mom. I'm like, I'm all these things, but I'm like, I also have to heal and I'm this new person. I'm this new mom. And it was just, wow. It was like, it hit me like, whoa, this is a lot.
Yeah.
And all these moms are out here in the same boat as me. And I'm like, wow, this is something needs to be done about that. So that led to the passion of me educating, more so just sharing my own story and seeing so many moms, you know, like, and raise their hands like me too. And, once I had my daughter and then I guess I was again a little bit older and there was definitely no bouncing back, snapping back, nothing like that. And diastasis recti was definitely one of the major things that really impacted me along with having a C-section with my daughter. And so, again, at this point, I wasn't doing much with women's health or anything like that, but I was more so just sharing my story. And the more I shared, the more people were like, hey, well, can you help me? And I'm like, you know, I'm a physical therapist, but this is not really my area. I'm, yeah. You know, I'm outpatient orthopedics. That's my jam. But I'm like, no, but I feel like I have to, like, I at least guide you to someone. But then that led to me doing tons of research and doing additional courses and certifications and becoming a pre and postnatal corrective exercise specialist through Dr. Sarah Duvall and just learning so, so much. And with that, I pretty much am where I am now on your guys' podcast and
yeah.
Just sharing so much on my page and working with women worldwide. It's been a journey, but it really started with my own journey of healing myself and just educating women that, hey, you know, I realize as a therapist and as a healthcare professional that we deserve better. And if I can do anything on my part to help, I'm definitely going to do that.
Well, I think you're doing such an incredible job. I mean, you really are. We're obviously going to link everything that you are providing right here in the show notes so you guys can go check her out right now. However, what I appreciate too is your reality. And even though you're a physical therapist, this was not information that we were necessarily taught. You know,
yeah.
We kind of brush over this broad stroke of pelvic health and then get into the world. And you really have to specialize it. You have to do more education if you're going to even understand it. So how did Absolutely. You even get to the point of quote unquote bouncing back from your after your first pregnancy? Because if you still had some tearing and stuff happen, did you go see a pelvic floor therapist? Like, what is the route that you took when you didn't have this information?
Yeah. So, you know, honestly, I didn't. And I don't know if it's just the youthfulness of my body at the time. I would say I was fortunate enough that I didn't, even with the tearing and the episiotomy, I ended up not having pelvic floor issues, thank God, you know. But I look back on it, I'm like, wow, I don't even know how I didn't, to be honest with you. But with that, I was able to, at that time with my son, I would say it would probably gear to the fact that even, and you'll probably see, you know, whoever goes to my page at any point, see how I share with my audience, how I've always been a very big proponent of using the breath, engaging my pelvic floor, even when I didn't necessarily know to do it. You know, I mean, I've always been a very big person about the core. So hence my business name, Core Elevation Fitness and Wellness. I've very much been big about that. And with that, I always trained my core, even before I had my son. And very much so after I had him, after I already had him. And I feel like that made a really big difference in my rehabilitation, even though, again, I didn't know it. And I luckily did work with other pelvic floor PTs, but again, I didn't need it at that time. It wasn't until my daughter that I started dealing with issues with a little bit of prolapse. And that's where I had, at that point, I was talking to more pelvic floor PTs because I was learning more about diastasis recti and things like that. So again, just having that resource of pelvic floor PTs that worked in the clinic with me was such a blessing, because I would go to them and I'm like, hey, you know, what do I do with this? And then, of course, I was also working with some pregnant women and some postpartum women in outpatient. And so, again, learning mostly from my, again, my colleagues, that really helped. So I didn't do a whole lot of coursework. And even when I wanted to, I loaded this like, wow, there's not a lot out there. Like, I'm looking for diastasis recti research. I'm like, wow, like even in the physical therapy world, why is it like I have to like cut corners and really dig deep to find this stuff? It just didn't seem to exist. So I found that to be a little bit surprising, but you know, it definitely pushed me to find what I could. And then also kind of be a catalyst in this whole diastasis recti world of pushing the envelope on, you know, what's safe and not safe and things like that. So. Yeah,
it's such a big gap right there. And I feel like I find that in a lot of the people who are really passionate about pelvic floor PT or women's health, is that they went through it themselves and they realized, hey, as a mm-hmm. professional, I had such an issue. Like, how can we expect the average person to get through this journey, you know, when we don't provide anything else for them or don't even make it known that these resources are available? And so I think that Absolutely. That's huge. You've brought up a few times something that's, you know, kind of I resonate with, diastasis, because I'm somebody who, with my own core and misunderstanding of how to fire the whole core, I appreciate how you really educate on what the core is. How did you start to go about, like, you talk about healing your diastasis, and what were some of the things you started throwing in to overcome that?
Yeah. So, beginning wise, once I, again, I think while I was pregnant, I was already starting to educate myself around the actual subject. So some big resources that I had come across within the PT world with people like Diane Lee, I think I had come across a little bit from Sarah Duvall, like those who, and then this is more so me just reaching out to my fellow pelvic floor PTs who had more knowledge than I did at the time, and just started reading what they were talking about, you know, learning more about the TA, the deep core muscles and things like that. So I was never really, again, even with my son, never intentional, like, okay, I'm going to contract my TA muscles. And I was really just kind of using my breath and just working my whole core, which again, I'm very big on that as well. But anyway, so going back to, you know, having my daughter and I'm having a C-section. So I'm not just, you know, only thinking about diastasis recti. I'm also thinking about the fact that, you know, my lower abdominal region, I can't feel it anymore, you know? So I just wanted to connect it with that. So for me, it really started with just my breath, you know, just learning diaphragmatic breathing. Everything was very gentle in the beginning, everything that I did. So I was doing the basics, you know, of, you know, contracting my core and contracting my pelvic floor and just reconnecting with my body, because everything was basically cut. It was numb. It was needing some desensitization. So all of those things I was doing with myself, thank God, again, because I knew to do those things. And so I started with just a gentle approach with, you know, heel slides, breath work, stretching, all those types of things. Those were the main things that I did to kind of start my journey.
And being a physical therapist and a personal trainer, you are able to connect to your body in that way, where a lot of people, the only thing that majority of the people I would say, and I'm saying this for people, so sorry if that's not you, but is when it comes to the pelvic floor, especially for women, all we've been taught is Kegel. But what does that really even mean? You know, and when are you doing it? And how is that applicable to how you're healing? And what if you're already super, you know, there's so many different layers. And a lot of times when people think that they're Kegeling, they're actually doing the opposite, you know? And so what have you found like to begin to help people to build this awareness? Even if you're not pregnant, don't plan on having babies, like how do we start to build this awareness back in the body?
Yeah, for sure. So a lot of the education that I start with, I just like to get people to be aware of their breath. So a lot of women that I work with, I I found, which again, because I've been, I guess, a trainer for so long, and breathing, I guess, the correct way for so long, it's almost shocking to me that so many women reverse breathe, and the sense of they're sucking their tummies in, you know. And once I think about it, okay, we're in the world of waist trainers and everybody wants mm-hmm. to be smaller, and it's such a taboo if your tummy sticks out. It's just, you know, a whole world of that. And so I'm like, okay, that makes sense. So for a lot of women, I really like to just get them to start with learning how to breathe correctly. If you can breathe correctly, then that can kind of help you engage and connect with your pelvic floor a little bit better versus, you know, when I'm telling you to exhale, you know, and engage, you were already engaging because you were sucking in. So just kind of trying to help them learn how to do that. I find that to be a very good foundational period. And then also, you know, within my program, I very much go over how to connect with your pelvic floor. So sometimes I may have them sit on like a yoga block or a stability ball and just feeling, you know, if you tilt forward, you know, here's the front part of your pelvic floor versus if you tilt backward on the ball. Okay. And then, you know, this is the back part of your pelvic floor. Do you feel the difference? And so different cues for different people. Some people find it very easily. Some people, you know, it takes a little bit more time, but I try to kind of give them different ways of figuring it out and just knowing for themselves, this is what your particular area of your body part feels like. This is what your lower TA, this is where it's located. This is what it feels like. If it's contracting correctly, this is what it should do. And so I'm very big on empowering them to know where the area is. So, you know, basically trying to keep it as basic as possible, basic anatomy. And then this is what the muscle should do if you are doing it correctly. And I find that just to be very helpful for them so that they can say, okay, now I know what this feels like versus, you know, again, social media, I feel like it can be, you know, a blessing, but sometimes it can be overwhelming for people who don't have the education, where it's just like, okay, now breathe and exhale and squeeze and pull everything in, or even the cues that you see a lot of time on social media, because I feel like sometimes it can be hard to break it down, like zip up and, you know, squeeze and lift. And they're like, I have no idea what that is. So again, I try to put all as many tools and visuals and cues out there, especially within my program, where I feel like I can kind of break it down for people a little bit more, and then find what works for them.
So, I mean, I know that this might be tough, especially since a lot of the times we work in person with people, or at least, you know, virtually being able to see them. But for people listening right now, is there any sort of exercise that somebody could try right now and that you could talk them through what they might be able to feel or what they might be able to pay attention to, just a simple little exercise? Because again, as someone myself who used to squat really heavy weights, and then I wondered after college why I was having pelvic floor issues, it took me a long time to reconnect there as well.
Mm-hmm. So like cues for pelvic floor specifically, or for diastasis recti, like TA?
I'd say, pelvic floor.
Pelvic floor. So I would say if anyone, this is a very general one. So again, it may not work for everyone. So I like to tell people, number one, close their eyes. So if you're a visual learner, sometimes a visual learning can help if you just close your eyes and visualize this happening. So one of the cues that you can give is just trying to squeeze like a actual blueberry. Okay. So, so if you can actually try and actually feel like you're grabbing a blueberry with your actual pelvic floor. So again, if you don't know what that area feels like, I suggest getting on some type of stability ball or something like that that can give you that feedback, because otherwise, if you don't get the feedback, you may not feel it. So being on a stability ball, actually squeeze like you're actually grabbing a blueberry, and then feel an actual lifting up, like it's like coming up. What are those little toy trucks called? Like a Tonka toy truck where it grabs like a claw and then lifts up. That's pretty much what you want to try to feel. So you should feel your pelvic floor coming away from the actual stability ball and coming upward, right? So it's not a huge thing. It's not, it's kind of like a gradual elevator ride where you're kind of on the ground floor and you're just going up from the first floor to the second floor to the third floor and just kind of coming up from there.
That is a great visual, especially with like the gradual lift, you know. The people in my programs definitely, or like my free challenges, this is a very similar cue that I use, and they're always like, I can never think of a blueberry the same now.
So they're sorry, like grabbing blueberry. Right. Or even like a washcloth or something like that. Like if you can grab like with the washcloth and squeeze it and then like take that washcloth and just let it drift up. I think someone's used like a almost like a squid. Is that a squid? That the little thing that kind of floats out and then it curls up. Does that make sense? Is that a squid? Am I saying the wrong animal?
No, that makes sense. Makes sense.
I'm not a sea person. So anyway, so like how they kind of expand out and then they draw up and they just kind of go up in the water like that. Anyway, so I try to put it all out there to see which one kind of captures, you know, with people and then see what kind of sticks.
And for these cues, are you do you usually direct it around any breath pattern? Because I know the breath is super important to you. So when you're talking about using the pelvic floor, is there a breath pattern that you kind of recommend starting with?
Yes. Yeah, so diaphragmatic breathing is always I'm going to say always. I hate to use the word always, because anytime you say always, then you're going to change it and do something different. But for the most part, diaphragmatic breathing altogether, I try to educate women on. So, you know, with this point that the diaphragm and the pelvic floor works together, right? So kind of like two bowls stacked on top of each other. So as you are exhaling, you want to get that diaphragm to lift up, and you also want to get your pelvic floor to lift up together. So that exhale is pretty much those two muscles working together. So you inhale, and when you inhale, you're going to fill your rib cage, your lungs, and a little bit of belly up with air. That's going to get that pelvic floor to relax, because relaxing is a very important part of connecting with your pelvic floor and your breath as well. So you want to get those muscles to relax. And then when you are really ready to engage, then you're going to exhale. And as you're exhaling, that's where that squeezing of the blueberry comes in. You're lifting the pelvic floor, but you're also exhaling out at the same time. And so if you're doing that all together, it kind of comes together, but it does take practice. So, you know, if anybody's listening to this, is like, you know, that's just too much for my brain. Keep practicing at it. Maybe just starting with the diaphragmatic breath first and then connecting the pelvic floor with it as well. And once you can get it to kind of flow, then, you know, trying to learn how to connect with your deep core muscles and things like that, it all kind of works together versus trying to do Kegels all by itself and then trying to do diaphragmatic breathing all by itself. Once you can get it to glue together, it kind of flows a lot easier.
Totally. I 100% agree. It's like the term Kegel, I don't even like to use, because then we're thinking of it static. We're thinking of it alone, right? Not through life and the journey of our bodies. Now, I know a question that people are probably having in their head is, well, how often am I supposed to do this? And for how long? And, you know, it goes into the prescription always of what people then say, okay, you told me to do this. Now I'm going to do it 24/7.
Well, definitely like to say, do not do that, right? Because just like with any other muscle, you don't go around doing bicep curls all day. You don't want to make your pelvic floor super tight either. And so a lot of women are not educated about that, right? Mm-hmm. So they're giving these crazy prescriptions of doing Kegels all day and contracting their pelvic floor all day, and then they end up with leakage that they never had because now their pelvic floor is tight. And tightness, for anyone that's listening, is not a good thing. Strong, yes. Tightness, no. So you don't want to do them all throughout the day, but just being aware of your posture throughout the day can be a very helpful time to think about also contracting your pelvic floor, working on diaphragmatic breathing, things like that. Just maybe a couple of times out of the day is good. Now, if you're working specifically to strengthen that area, I feel that's a little bit different than just being general and wanting to incorporate it into exercise. So everybody's different, you know, and how they should go about it. So, you know, I hate to prescribe, like, yes, definitely do 10 reps, 10 times, 3 times a day, you know, and that may not be for the woman who may be listening, and she may be dealing with tight pelvic floor. So I don't want to give any type of prescriptions in that way. But I think just being aware throughout the day and just practicing diaphragmatic breathing and getting that pelvic floor to engage, you can never really go wrong with that as long as you're not overdoing it.
I couldn't agree more. And I love that you said tight is not strong. It doesn't correlate. And I laugh because I me and my girlfriends, we all share the same gynecologist. And one came back and she was like, oh, she said I had such a strong and good pelvic floor because it was so tight. And I'm thinking, no, that's not that's not the good thing.
Which knowing her, that's the exact thing she would be proud of.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, no, that's what we want to not do.
That was one of the things that for me, when I was learning a lot about my pelvic floor, like I dealt a lot with urge symptoms and some urge incontinence stuff. And I love how you talked about when taking on that inhale, how it kind of lets that pelvic floor, well, wait, is the inhale or the exhale? When your pelvic floor descends and relaxes. Yeah. Because whenever I was starting to feel it and feel something come on, you know, my instinct is to tighten up even more, right?
Yeah.
And what ended up helping me the most was taking a nice big deep inhale and even taking one little extra sip at the top and then allowing myself to take a nice long exhale so that I could almost like recalibrate. It's kind of like when you have really tight neck and then you scrunch your shoulders up towards your ear and then you let them slowly relax down. You can almost recalibrate where that thing's at.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are some other recommendations if people are like, well, I don't know if mine's tight. I don't know if I'm weak. Like, how do you start to explore this balance and awareness within the pelvic floor?
Right. So anyone that I'm working with, you know, I try to give them just kind of a list of things to look out for to know whether they're tight or whether they're weak or if they're just, you know, just needing to reconnect with their body altogether. So, you know, tightness is generally, you know, not just something you can just tell, right? So it's generally other symptoms that are going on. Some things like painful sex are big indicators for women that are like, yes, you know, they know like, okay, maybe I do have a tight pelvic floor. And that's, you know, it's all not always just one thing. It's generally like a combination of things that's going on. So just being aware, you know, that things like painful sex can be an indicator. Constipation can be an indicator as well. And this, it doesn't have to just be sex, but just any type of penetration altogether. So just putting in a tampon. So a lot of women that I've worked with lately, and it has been so funny, they, I think maybe like two or three, they've all had scoliosis as well. So digging around more and more and more, we're like, oh, this is something you've been dealing with for years. So it was not just from pelvic floor because of, you know, babies and things like that. It's because of this, you know, lack of balance in their hips, in their core, in their hip muscles and things like that. So, you know, you guys know with scoliosis and things like that, it impacts, you know, some levels are tight, some things are weak. Anyway, going into all of that. So just really getting to know more about a person's history and things like that can really be very helpful in being able to guide them. Are they dealing with pelvic floor tightness or if they're dealing with pelvic floor weakness? And then a lot of women deal with just the weakness, and that's just from a lack of connection with their body. You've had a baby, things have been stretched out. And when you're pregnant, there's a lot of pressure that's put down on your pelvic floor. So just educating women about the fact that even if you had a C-section or vaginal, you can have pelvic floor issues. And I think just, again, that education is really helpful to help women connect more to their pelvic floor altogether. Mm-hmm. So, again, I like to educate from that standpoint. And then for the women who don't have any children at all, just the wellness and just getting that education beforehand. Like, there's so many things that you can do to have a healthy pelvic floor before you even have a baby. So I just try to educate as much as possible to help women, you know, when they're pregnant to know, okay, be connected with your pelvic floor because those muscles do have to kind of assist in some way during your pregnancy. They kind of have to get out of the way, really. So if they're too tight or something like that when you're trying to have a baby or, you know, you don't know how to connect with them, then that too can impact as well. I know I probably went a little bit off subject there, but I'm a big educator. So as much as I can both get from, you know, if you're dealing with it now to the wellness end, I just try to educate as much as possible. And then I personally refer to, if you need that pelvic floor PT, refer to a pelvic floor PT in person, let them assess you hopefully from head to toe and really get in there and see what do you have going on.
Yeah. I think that postpartum and postpartum education are equally as important. You know, that we're starting to do it, like you said, with people who get total joint replacements. We give them a bunch of education beforehand and we notice how much better they do after the
fact.
So
much better, right? Isn't that amazing?
Totally. I know.
It's just like this whole thought, like, why don't we think about this in the maternal world? It's beyond me. But me, you know, just talking to more OBs and just realizing that's just not the system of education in which they've had. And I've, you know, just listening to others talk on either podcasts or just talking to them directly, you know, they're trying to do better in that area. But, you know, that just means that, you know, from the physical therapy standpoint, that we just try to advocate and educate and get that education out there as much as we can to know that, you know, there's other professionals and people who can help you as well.
Exactly. Like, you don't have to feel alone and you're Absolutely. Not broken, you know, diastasis recti, Absolutely. Prolapse, these things happen and you're not alone in the process. You're not broken. And what mm-hmm. do you say for people who do have or experience diastasis recti? You know, what is the beginning steps into addressing it?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a very big, you know, and knowing that you can look on social media and find almost any and everything out there. Some things make me cringe to my soul, be honest with you.
Yeah.
When I see some things, I'm like, wrong, no, don't do that. You know, I definitely recommend women. We're in the day and age where social media is the next go-to Google, you know,
yeah.
and even Google can kind of steer you wrong sometimes. But even with that, see an actual women's health and pelvic floor PT. I always say that first, you know, and even though this is me having a program, right? Because sometimes just everyone doesn't always have access, but if you have access to one and they can see you and they can see what your body can do and see, you know, if anything like your posture, the impact that that's having on it, any muscle imbalances, how you're doing with your breathing, then your day to day things that you're doing, you know, because exercise is just a small portion of the day. And I think a lot of people get really wrapped up on that. If I'm doing these 5 exercises, then I'll heal my diastasis. And if these didn't work, then I'm just going to go have surgery, you know, and they don't realize there's just so many different components of things that you need to look for. And a lot of times, it helps to have a professional to look at those things so that you can see that, oh, I never tried that. So, you know, surgery may not be the only option for me. And there's nothing wrong with surgery. I'm definitely not anti-surgery, but I feel like a lot of women, you know, get frustrated because they've looked at either a hashtag and tried some random things, but mm-hmm. they've never addressed their breath. They've never had someone look at them at their posture or from head to toe for weaknesses and things like that. And all of those things really do impact because your core is your center, you know? And so you have to look at those things and really go from there. Now, if it's someone who's like, I don't have access to a physical therapist, but I really want to learn, then start with the basics of basically what I just said. Look at things like your posture and just be aware of it throughout the day, right? And then if you can learn from someone who's providing education, like myself, I do provide these things yeah. about breathing and things like that, you know, learn and try to incorporate those things if you can. And if there's any sound free resources and you can get to those things, get to them and, you know, actually try and see what you can do for yourself. But if you hit a brick wall, don't feel like that's the end all be all. There are so many amazing pelvic floor, women's health PTs and people around, you know, even postpartum coaches and things like that who are trained that can really, really help you. So, you know, don't feel like there's no hope, you know, definitely try on your own. But if you get to a place where you need more, definitely go for it.
I love that. And I think kind of like you said, when people start incorporating and just digging into some of these things themselves, like your body will tell you what it needs and your body mm-hmm. will tell you, oh, that really feels good for me. That works for me. And I think so many people can just find that. I was actually scrolling through your feed a little bit before that when I knew we were going to do an interview with you. And I saw a post I really liked because I think sometimes people will, you know, be postpartum or after having their child and they'll be afraid to do stuff and they'll be doing core exercises, but they won't know if they're doing enough or they won't know if they're doing too much. So what are some signs as to when somebody's not quite doing enough or not quite working their core hard enough?
Yeah. So one of the obvious signs is no change, right? So if you're not doing enough, and I always kind of liken it to something that people feel like they can understand. So like if you go to the gym and you always lift a 5-pound dumbbell to grow your biceps, like I want to get strong biceps and I want to get bigger biceps or whatever, but I'm always using 5 pounds. So that's not enough load, you know, maybe it'd be something good to start, but that's not enough load being placed on your bicep to make it to hypertrophy and to grow and get stronger. So you have to challenge it more, right? And so one of the signs that you're not quite doing enough is that you're not seeing any progress, right? And so again, I kind of dive into that because some people take that and they just run with it. Like, okay, my diastasis is not getting better, so I'm going to do a whole lot more. You know, it's not always that because there's other things to consider. But that is a sign that you, maybe you need to challenge it a little bit more. And I know that for a lot of women, and even when I started doing research about this and even educating about this, there was a lot of list of things you should and should not do. And because of those lists, it makes it very difficult, you know, for people like myself. It's just like, you know, no, try more. You know, you may actually need to do a plank. You may actually need to do that more challenging exercise that was once on the no-no list to actually get your core muscles to fire in hypertrophy and grow more than what you were doing before, like just a basic heel slide or a bridge or something like that, which is the typical kind of starting point for most diastasis recti programs and education and things like that. So one of the signs is you're just not seeing any progress and that you just need to try and do something different as well.
Yeah. And I think, too, that it just makes sense, right? Because in life, we're not just going to be laying on our back and doing breathing or doing heel slides, like, especially after you've had a baby. Life is going to demand a lot more of you. So how are you going to take this and be able to use it functionally?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then some other things is the exercises just feel too easy for you. You know what I mean? Like you were just saying, Jen, like heel slides, bridges, that's a good starting point. But once it starts to get easy, kind of like the 5-pound dumbbell, after a while, you're like, okay, I guess it might have felt like a little bit of a challenge in the beginning, but maybe I should do a little bit more. So if it's getting easy, to go to something a little bit more challenging, try a side plank, you know, for instance, if you're not quite ready for the plank or something like that. And then for myself, I share a lot of things on how to modify. So if you don't feel ready for a regular plank, then go to like a raised plank or something like that. Right. And then the other things is like just being too scared to try. Some people are just like, I just don't. Fear is very limiting, sometimes worse than anything else. Like if you feel like I'm so scared to do anything, I found a lot of women where they do absolutely nothing at all. So of course, doing nothing at all is going to be a telltale sign that you're not going to get better because you're just standing still, you know? And so you got to learn how to break through those barriers of fear and just see what your body can do, which goes back to working with a professional who can give you guidance. And that's what I do. I do one-on-one coaching with the women inside my program, and I'm looking at them, they're looking at me, everything's via Zoom, and I'm looking, you know, to tell them, you know, are you having any coning? If you don't, let's go with it. Let's build on top of that. Let's not, you know, let fear stop you from getting the progress and, or excuse me, giving your body the challenge and being able to get the progress that you need.
That is so incredibly huge and important for people to continue to hear over and over again, because especially when your body's been through something like pregnancy that you've never done before, and all of a sudden you're seeing or feeling things that are way different that you have no idea. The immediate response is this fear of like, oh my God, I don't want to make it worse, right? So I'm not going to do anything. And it's so imperative that we understand our body goes through a journey, you know, and this is just a part of the journey. But if we want to continue through it, we have to be able to and willing to go into the scary zone and go into exploration of our body, because it's so resilient and strong. And I love that you're empowering women to continue to explore, to keep moving, to keep challenging yourself. You don't have to stay at the basics, but you're able to go on, you're able to do more. And I think this message is so incredibly just necessary.
Absolutely. Agree 100%. Absolutely. And I that part I feel like is the big part of my page and why a lot of women come to me, because I'm pushing them or I'm encouraging them to realize just how strong and resilient their bodies are, you know, and just remember you carried in birth babies, multiple babies, you know what I mean? Like, so like a little plank, you know, we can't keep that from, you know, you being strong and getting back to CrossFit or running or whatever the case may be. You know, we have to address those imbalances, sure, but we also have to realize that your body's made for this. Your body's able to, if it can get weak, it can get strong. I say that all the time, even when I was, you know, seeing people in the clinic, and, you know, if a muscle can get weak, a muscle can get strong. And I think just that one liner sometimes is just like, yeah, you're right. Like, why don't I just make it stronger? So, yeah, I think that's very important.
That's love that.
One of the first things you said when you got on here was empowerment and empowering people, especially women and mothers, back into their bodies. And that's one of the things that Jen and I preach the most, is empowering people to become independent, knowing they can,
And we just appreciate that so much about you, LaShonda. Where can people find more about you, more about the program that you run, and all the things?
Yep. So most people find me on Instagram. So that's going to be PT Trainer Shonda. That's where I share a good bit of education just about postpartum, a little bit of pregnancy. I want to do a little bit more with that. And then just, you know, some general things. And I just share a little bit of my life and things like that. My actual program itself, my website is coreelevationfitness.com. And my actual diastasis recti program is an 8-week program. That's where I'm working with women. It is virtual. And I'm working with women, not just locally, but pretty much everywhere in the UK, Africa. I've had women from all over, and it's been a true blessing. But that program in itself, I generally run 8 weeks, and I generally educate people about that. And the opening of it, I run it a few times out of the year through my email list. And so I have a link in my bio and Instagram where they can really get in there. I have a free Facebook group that is a diastasis recti group that have, you know, over 1,000 some odd women in there, where I'm always educating women about diastasis recti, empowering them, you know, just giving as much free education as I can to help guide them, as well as my free 5-day challenge, which again, where I really kind of go over the real foundational things that I talked about here with you guys, like posture, breathing with exercise. I'm also educating them about nutrition as well. So I do go over nutrition and the impact of like your gut health and all that type of stuff. So I go over all those things both inside of my program and even in my free resources, with the purpose being that I know that not everyone can afford PT. Not everyone has access to a PT. So I want to be able to at least provide that level of education for them. So if there's something that they can do, do it. Right. Until you can either work with myself or work with someone locally and get the help that you both deserve and need.
That is so beautiful. And we're going to have that all linked up. And I hope that people go and check out your stuff, because you really are helping so many people and everywhere, all over the world. It's so amazing. So thank you for what you're doing.
I'm honored. I'm honored. And I'm always grateful for everyone that I get to work with.
And there we have it, yet another amazing guest on the Optimal Body Podcast. So now what we ask of you, if you loved any bit of that or resonated with it, go share it out, share it with a friend, share it on your social media, because you know there are more people out there that would resonate with it just the same. Also, subscribe, rate, review on your favorite podcast app so we know what you want to learn or other guests that you think we should bring on for you in the future. Keep tuning in to find your optimal body.